Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Inside the 1 a.m. hour on The Fan in New York City, not California. Maybe some of you Cali people are listening with the three-hour time difference to us over here on The Fan. Keith McPherson on The Fan, bringing it home in the next 50 minutes. Just going back to last night with Carlos Mendoza. Carlos Mendoza said, I feel like the concern now is more like the state of the bullpen and how much we've used those guys. And SNY just flashed, like Hoaskar Brazoban's got a 9.72 ERA this month. Reed Garrett had another high one. These guys are already taxed. The Mets had guys kind of play over their heads to start the season, and now it's kind of catching up to them. Today, Ken Rosenthal was on Foul Territory saying the Mets are experiencing a perfect storm of events that's sort of submerging them right now, and that the deadline is looming more interesting than it might have been, say, 2 weeks ago. But then I also was reading an article today on what David Stearns had to say where, you know, he said it's too early to look at the trade deadline, the trade market. And I agree with him because on June 25th, still more than a month out, so much can change in a month. Look at how much has changed in a month for the Mets and the Yankees. I think they're going to right the ship. And David Stearns, you know, added a bunch of things about, I think we have a really good team. I think certainly we're much better than we've played the last 10 or 12 days. But anytime you go through a stretch like this, it forces you to evaluate the team. And he says his job is to get them out of this as quickly and as well as they can. So they're going to send guys down. They're going to bring guys back. They're going to move things around. They're going to try different things. But it's just a bad rut. It's a bad stretch. And what makes it even worse for the Mets and the Mets fans is that it's coming at the hands of your division rivals. You get swept by the Braves, you lose a series to the Phillies in Philly, and now you're back home where you had this home field advantage. You drop two to the Braves today, which ensures that you can't win the series, that you can maybe split the series, and it's just hard to have confidence in that with a tax bullpen, with a lineup that is not performing the way that it was projected to, with guys in the lineup that aren't performing. And let's see, you have Clay Holmes going, who Clay Holmes needs to bounce back. Clay Holmes has hit a wall. Clay Holmes, how long can he go in the game? Is he going to be able to go deep into the game to give the bullpen a break? And then you have Griffin Canning going in the next game. So it's almost like there's no end in sight. Chuck is in the truck on The Fan. What you thinking about, Chuck?
Man, brutal loss, man. Just a brutal stretch of play, bro. It's like brain-dead baseball, bro. And it starts with, I like to call him Mimbozo, man, with the decision-making. Like, you know, just how he goes about things. When you think about that crushing loss to Atlanta, you know, game one, you know, we're up 4-1 in the eighth. And Peterson is coming off a complete game shutout. Now he gives you, you know, 7 strong, 1-run ball. And, you know, if you are going to send him back to out there in the eighth, like, how do you not even have somebody up, you know? Like, at that time, it's time to go to, like, you know, one batter guy. You know, first guy gets on, Peterson is missing up and away as a lefty. Like, you know, he's tired, man. And I think that played a part in this recent start, you know, where he just didn't have it. And I don't know, like, who's calling the shots or what, you know, what does Mendoza even do? Like, how do you have Brett Beatty up here in the ninth, and he's got a 3-1 count, bro, and he's swinging with the tying run in the on deck circle. Like, unbelievable, man. And it was a low changeup too. You know, it's not even like a heater down the middle or a hanger. You know, because
not for nothing, bro. Brett Beatty has a few hits in his last, couple games where he's feeling himself. He's thinking he can be the hero. He drove in 2 runs today. He had 2 hits yesterday. Yeah. He's thinking, hey, I can get it done.
I got you, but you can't be the hero when, like, your run at that point is meaningless because the guy in the on-deck circle represents the tie-in run. Like, you know, if Beatty walked, you know, and that's where, like, I looked at Mendoza. I remember, you know, earlier in the year, we had the situation, like, versus the Dodgers where you talked about, you know, we could have swept them. And same type of stuff. You got Acuna, who's young, he's inexperienced, he lacks plate discipline. He's coming up, pitchers, you know, wild, and it's 2-0 count. And then you get Acuna swinging at the next 4 pitches that are out of the zone, and the guy gets stranded on third. Then he comes up later on in the extra inning, 3-0 count, and he's swinging 3-0. It's like, bro, what is the manager doing? Like, why are you not telling these kids here, look, we need to take one here? If Beatty takes that pitch, 3-1, he walks. And then you see Mauricio comes up, hits a double. He didn't miss a home run by all that much. You know, went off the wall. But he hits the double there. You get 2 runs in. It's a 7-5 game. And you got Mauricio on second as the tying run. And, you know, Beatty's on third. Even Lindor grounding out, you know, pulling the ball to Albies at second, still would be a productive out where the guy from third comes home, you know, and you got a runner in scoring position
at that point, bro.
The game with Nemo and Soto, bro.
The end of the game, you were down to your last outs. It was too little, too late. But I hear you, Chuck. Thanks for the call. Like, the game was lost before that. That 5-run, 6th inning. You wouldn't be thinking about Brett Beatty's at bat where he was up in the count, and then, you know, that game was lost on Brazoban, Castillo, and Garrett. Shout out to Lil Dicky, though. Lil Dicky Love Lady. Richard Love Lady makes his Mets debut, and he comes out clean. And I don't know, man. It's just not positive. There's nothing there. I'm searching for a positive from this game. Frankie Montas showing up and not looking like the AAA version of himself. But tomorrow's another day. Today's a game that you felt like you could have won, though, to right the ship, and they blew it. They had a 3-run lead in the 4th inning, so did the Yankees, and they blew it too. So we're just overanalyzing things at, like, the end of the game where it shouldn't even have came down to that. And, you know, where you are, too, I'm looking at David Stearns. David Stearns, you elected to go with these young kids, these baby Mets, and Vientos is hurt. And you had to send down Alvarez, and you had to send down Acuna, and you had sent Brett Beatty down, and now Brett Beatty is being relied on. And, you know, you could have signed some other guys. You could have added some veterans in the mix. You're going to be expected to do that at the deadline. We understand injuries have hit, and that's why you're relying on the Jared Youngs as well. But, like, this is a high payroll team.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Team. This is a team that the owner challenged the fans to come out to the ballpark and fill that place. You got another 38,000 people there tonight. And like I said, when they go down and they give up those runs in the 6th, SNY is panning through all of Citi Field and looking at the faces of these Mets fans. They're in agony. They're uncomfortable. They're in pain. Like, when will it end? I don't know. SJ is in T-neck on the fan next. What's up, SJ?
Hey, Keith, how are you?
I've been better. This sucks. I want to talk about positive things. Fleeg said during the break that, you know, this is all the Knicks' fault, that the Knicks firing Tom Thibodeau brought, like, negative energy. And I said, yeah, it sure did. We were riding high off the Knicks' run, the Yankees starting good, the Mets starting good. It was good times. Literally, Evan and Morash had a whole debate. Who's better, Mets or Yankees? And we were talking about Subway Series, and now fast forward where we are here. Both teams inherited all the negative energy from the Knicks.
Yeah, well, the last time I called in saying the Mets are better than the Yankees, you absolutely crushed me. So I'm going to avoid that topic tonight. But I wanted to call in and get your thoughts on the Mets sending down Francisco Alvarez. I was absolutely shocked when I heard they did that. I've been a big Frankie Alvarez fan since he came up in 2023. As a rookie catcher, to hit 25 home runs, set the franchise record for home runs in a season for rookie catcher, and hit the sixth most home runs all time for rookie catcher. Plus, he's great defensively. He's smart. He's coachable. I've just been a huge fan of his, so I was just absolutely shocked to hear that they sent him down. Do you think that was the right thing? Did that move shock you as well? What are your thoughts?
You know, I didn't think they were going to do it because I thought that that was the type of thing that could really crush the guy's ego. I felt like Mike Vaccaro writing that on the post kind of set it up where they had to do it, and there were a lot of people calling for it. I also didn't feel confident in Luis Torrens or Hayden Senger. That's also something we should be talking about because not for nothing, like Alvarez just presents so much more of a threat at the plate than those guys. They had to, though. He was looking terrible at the plate, and it was starting to carry over into his defense. He had the injury. He also had a baby recently. There's probably a lot going on. I even said earlier today he got pulled from the game in Syracuse today because he, you know, the heat, the dizziness. So he just needs to get right. And you know what? I guess since they did it after he homered and, you know, he clanked the ball off the wall deep in left field at Citizens Bank Park, they did it at the right time where he, you know, they're saying, hey, you know, we're not doing this because we don't have confidence in you. We're doing this because we want to get you right, and we do want to bring you back. It's a long season. We're going to add at the deadline. We're going to have the All-Star break and all that. We got to get you straightened out. So I don't think it's the type of thing that's going to crush a 23-year-old kid. I know he's competitive. I know he wants to get better. I think he's going to put in the time, and it'll come back around. But, you know, we're just also in a time where, like, on the other side of town, they're not sending down Anthony Volpe. I just went on a rant about how they're not sending down Dominguez. They're not sending down Austin Wells. They're going to let these kids take their lumps on the major league level, and they're going to platoon these guys. Well, not Volpe. Volpe plays every single day. But it is what it is.
I mean, that's what I was thinking, too. Like, I understood, like, the Mets used to send down Brett Beatty, like, every other week, and that was crazy because, like, Brett Beatty would have multi-home run games. He would come up clutch. Yeah, he had his errors at third, but, like, he's a guy that I would think would be treated kind of like a Dominguez or a Volpe or a Wells, where, like, you let them make their mistakes, but you keep them at the big league level. And that's – but even with him, like, I kind of understood when they would send him down. With Alvarez, I just don't get the logic at all. Like, I don't even know what happened to Omar Narvaez. He was pretty solid. I just don't know how he got to a place now where we have Torrens and Hayden.
Yeah, it's something you got to look at David Stearns and say, yo, how did we default into this? Thanks for the call, SJ. 888-808-1019. It's another pain point for the Mets where it's like the bottom of the lineup isn't good enough. And, you know, when I talked about Carlos Mendoza last night saying, I feel like the concern now is more like the state of the bullpen and how much we've used those guys. Like, that's steady Mendy starting in year two to be like, okay, let me give you some truth. Let me give you some reality. Like, we've overused these guys, and they're not effective. But then he also said the bottom of the lineup, we're having a hard time creating opportunities. We're relying pretty much on the top four or five guys. That's real. We see it. Ralph out on Long Beach. What's up, man? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, though, the pain, I'll tell you. That bullpen was overused. When Steve came in, I couldn't think. So, what I had to do, because I'm a common guy, I got on my bike, I took a ride, and I jumped in the water because I just had a relief. Yes. I jumped in, I said, I'm on the boardwalk, but I needed to do that at my age. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been waiting to talk to you for a while, and I just think he's stressing out again. He's going to burn the bullpen. You know, he's going to pull it opposite Thibodeau, you know what I mean? Don't play enough players. Then you make the wrong decision. But I got to go to something with the Nets. I think the Nets picked up a hell of a player, Terrence Mann. I used to see him at Florida State. My son
went. Me too. And,
I saw Florida State. I'm a big Seminole fan. The kid's got potential. He's got ice in his veins. I love this move.
Yeah, I remember when they knocked off Duke. I watched that whole game.
Because I can't stand Duke. I'm one of the biggest guys. I can't stand Duke. And I used to coach at Hickey Field, and Billy Donovan was a little chubby guy back then, stuff like that. I remember all the days with that stuff. He was than before with the Providence there. And they knocked up Duke. But I love this tournament, man, and I'm just stressed out with this Met thing. But, you know, one day at a time, jump in the water, and I told these kids, you know, a bunch of kids up from the wreck, I'm going to take them to the Met game. And I just think we need to take a breath and just mendy it out. And I just love talking to you. You're a strength of energy. You got Piaz. You got good chutzpah. You know, you're not a jellyfish. You got good energy.
Thanks for the call, Ralph. Hopefully, you know, you jumping into the water is symbolic for the Mets fans, and you washed away this hex that the Braves have over you. There are people running with the narrative that since the Mets put the pride flag on the big screen during the national anthem, they haven't been able to win games at home. Frank the Tank, shout out to Frank the Tank. I jumped into Frank the Tank's live today. And he's like, Keith McPherson's in here. And the guy I was doing a live with is like, who is Keith McPherson? Someone's like, that's not really Keith McPherson. And Frank the Tank's like, Keith McPherson's not big enough for somebody to make a fake account of him. I'm like, no, it's me. It's my account. And he's like, who's Keith McPherson? They're having a conversation. He's like, he does nights at WFAN, big Yankee fan. I'm sure he's loving this right now. And I'm like, I'm not loving this right now. I'm like, I jumped in. One, I always support Frank the Tank as Jersey guys. But Frank, you should have never switched from being a Nets fan to the Knicks. We don't do that. But I always support Frank the Tank as a Jersey guy. And I jumped in the chat because I thought it was eerie. I'm like, we both had 3-0 leads and then lost them back to back. Like, it was simultaneous. I'm like, we are in this together. We are struggling together, Mets and Yankees. The Yankees can't win night games. Go back and look at all these night games. They're all losses. 888-808-1019. Steve is in Homedale on the fan. What's up, Steve?
Hello, Keith. How are you?
Good, good.
Two quick things. You know, as far as Boone and his usage of the bullpen, he's just not consistent in what he does. Leiter last night, the first game against Cincinnati, threw like 28 pitches. And then he let him throw 27 pitches tonight, 55 pitches in two nights. So it's okay to overuse him. The guy was clearly on fumes in that last inning. But Devin Williams throws 9 pitches and he can't go a second inning tonight.
That's what I'm saying, Steve. Like, what I want to know, like explain it to me like I'm 5. How do they come up with who is a 1-inning guy, who's a 2-inning guy? How do they also come up with night to night matchups, whatever? Like, how many pitches these guys throw where they can say, like, why is Mark Leiter Jr. in such high rank?
It's ridiculous.
Like, you're willing to lose the game in the series on Mark Leiter Jr.?
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention, which is really the biggest concern if you're a Yankee fan, is I think what we're seeing right now during these last 12 games is why the Yankees have so much trouble in the postseason. When they lose in the postseason, it's not because their pitching is poor. It's because they can hit good pitching. And I hate to keep using the term manufacture runs. But I want to give you an interesting stat, if you don't know. Well, you probably do. The Yankees have the greatest run differential in the major leagues.
Yeah.
Even though clearly they have the best record. They have a run differential of 104. The Toronto Blue Jays trail the Yankees by 2.5 games. They have a run differential of -6. Everybody talks about the Yankees having such a good offense. The Yankees have a bully offense. The Yankees will pound you into submission where the hitting is contagious. They hit 5 home runs in a game. They'll beat you 10-2. And then the next night, when the game is close, you know, it used to be when the game got toward the end of the game, you knew the Yankees were going to win the game. They'll get a clutch hit. The bullpen will shut them down. When the Yankees allowed that game to get tied tonight, I just knew they were not going to win. And look at even how they scored that run in the 11th inning. It was a wild pitch.
Yep.
If the pitcher didn't throw a wild pitch, there's no way the Yankees were going to score. And it's just unfortunate that they just can't seem to win these close games. You know, they strike out, they have non-productive outs, and inferior teams just seem to be able to get the better of them in these games that come down to the wire. And it wouldn't shock me one bit tomorrow if they win 10-2, and then that'll just make them look like that they, you know, with their run scoring in the league. I mean, the one thing I will say is the Yankee pitching during this 3-9 12 game stretch. I don't think the Yankee team ERA is much more than 2.
No, it's been a strength. That's why Steve, yeah. I said, why are we in a rush to take Rodon out during this stretch? Starting pitching has been a strength. Like I'm saying, hey man, come on. I know you're tired, you're huffing and puffing. Go out there for the 7th. If you give up, if you struggle, if you have a 9 pitch at bat, you give up a hit, we'll take you out. But we got to try and stretch you. You're rolling. We got to continue with you in this game and save the bullpen for the rest of this game and tomorrow. And like honestly, with Max Fried on the mound, you're right. They'll be confident with Fried on the mound, and they'll come out swinging, and Fried hopefully does his thing against those guys no matter what the temperature is, and they'll find a way to win, but they already lost the series.
One last thing, Keith. You know, it's interesting because I was so upset when I saw Rodon has 88 pitches. He'll definitely go the 7th inning, and I was really annoyed at Boone. And then I was, like, really surprised to hear Rodon say he was gassed.
And they had their stories together. They had their stories together. And that's the first thing I said on Twitter. They had their stories together. Boone backs up his players. Of course, his players are going to back up him. So Boone speaks first. And then when they get to him, because I'm like, come on, man. Rodon always has a problem coming out of the game. Rodon is always sweaty. Rodon is a guy that in the freezing cold temperatures of Detroit didn't have an undershirt on. So now it's too hot for him today. Now he's out of shape today. You were going for your 10th win today. Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I want to give you one other quick thing, because it's interesting, because Rodon used the word gassed. I don't know if you remember, last year, game one of the World Series against the Dodgers, Cole was mowing him down, and he was removed after 6 innings, and he ended up costing the Yankees.
Oh, of course I remember. The first thing I said tonight on my Twitter, and it got a lot of attention, I said, never take anyone out at 88 pitches ever again. I've seen them lose too many games removing the starter at that number. I think that's the number Cole was at in the World Series, and I also remember Domingo Germán versus the Cubs before the All-Star break was rolling, and they took him out at 88 pitches, and then the bullpen blew it. I'm like, why is 88 the magic number? Under 90 pitches, under 100 pitches. Why do we get to 88 and say, "Yeah, your job is done. That's enough"?
But you know what, Keith? Cole, I was mad last year with Boone in the World Series, and then Cole said he was gassed, and I'm like, "What is going on with these guys?"
I feel
guys?
Like that's them having their story together. Your competitors, you guys get paid a lot of money to pitch. Go out there and compete. Thanks for the call, Steve. If not, then they are coddling these guys. If not, they are fostering a soft ass culture of like, nah, you don't got to go all, like, no, that's the wrong way to be. That's the wrong way to be. Oh, I'm gassed. I don't care. You're playing a game. I don't care. We need you to go further into the game than that. And that's why I led with, okay, you guys made a big deal about Clark Schmidt being pulled at 103 pitches in the same heat, going 7 innings. Then make a big deal about Rodon being gassed and not fighting to come back out there and Boone pulling him today at 6 innings and 88 pitches. Jason is in Westfield. Before we get to the break, you got a couple minutes, Jason. You got it.
Hey, Keith. Thanks, man. Everybody's right. You're right. Boone's making decisions and Jazz getting kicked out. But your guy came up with the bases loaded, right? I'm wondering.
Yeah, let's not leave out Judge. Because and not to cut you off, we got time. In my chat, and I starred this, Daniel said, Michael K. said, here comes the dangerous Aaron Judge with the bases loaded in the 8th inning. Judge not clutch, can't get it done. Daniel says he's a choke artist. Judge hasn't been the same since Boone sat him down in Kansas City. Like, Judge has Cal Raleigh homering every single day and creating space on the home run lead in Major League Baseball. Judge has the narrative now coming back that he does not do it in the moments that they need him to do it. And he had an opportunity to be clutch today, and he folded.
What did you think? When he's up, what did you think was going to happen?
I had hoped that he would be clutch, but I knew he wasn't going to come through. He's not like
right,
that.
Me too. Like, but like, you know, go. I don't know. I'm older than you, but pick your favorite villain. If Altuve's up, he's good. I would think he's going to come through. For me, it's Poppy. For me, it's, you know, Edgar Martinez. Well, all those guys, like, they would even, and then you can take it to the Yankees. You can go O'Neill. I believe O'Neill would come through. I believe Jeter would come through. Yeah, whatever. But old guy talking about these guys. I just, when no, he's
it was,
up there,
it was too hot, Ben Jason. Judge was gassed. It was too hot. Judge was gassed.
Well, let me tell you before, I know we got to go. Opening day, we need some positivity, Keith. All right. And I'm getting negative. You're negative. We're all negative. That opening day, you came back from stands. You may or may not have been hammered. I don't know. Who's to say? But you were so pumped up. You got me so pumped up. Like, yeah, let's go. It's the freaking Yankees. And we need to get that back as opposed to me thinking about Judge. Like, there's no chance Judge is coming through. I hope Ben Rice does it. That's what I thought. So I need you to get positive for me, buddy.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Man,
let's go Yankees.
Thanks for the call, Jason. It's funny because, like, I didn't even want to do opening day on the fan because it's opening day and it's a long-ass day and you don't sleep the night before. But I just had somebody at Fanatics Fest that was like, yo, I loved your opening day show. And I'm like, yeah, because that's as real as it gets. Opening day, everyone is 0-0, and then when you win, you're 1-0. And I've been going to opening day now consistently for like 10 years before I was on the fan. And I don't know, man. When opening day comes, hope springs eternal. You just think about, okay, maybe this is the year that we get back to the World Series and win it. And then you get on the roller coaster, and it has its ebbs and flows, and its ups and downs, and it just, I don't know. You get to these points. This too shall pass, but it sucks. And what sucks about it is it's a lot of the same themes that we have gone through as Yankee fans, whether it was what the scouting report that the Dodgers had last year or things that stopped us against the Houston Astros in years before. And when does it end? When does it change? When does it stop? I don't know. I don't know. When can Judge be clutch and actually come through in those moments? When can Boone, you know, control some of his players like Jazz to not get thrown out? When can they make the right decisions? When can we be more gutsy as far as like, yo, manage with heart and feel and not analytics and numbers? And like I said, off of, you know, what Clint Frazier told everybody this past week, it doesn't help. Clint Frazier said they don't care about hot. They think you're a number. You're not a human. And like all the stuff Clint Frazier had to say, You're seeing it. And so a lot of people point to this era of the Yankees and say that the reason that they're not able to get back to the World Series and win it is because of how they do things from top down. But me as a Yankee fan, I always feel like they can go and win it. And when opening day starts, I get pumped to go on the ride. And I know that these days and weeks are going to come. I'm never getting off the ride. I might joke and say I need to find something better to do with my life, but this is what I chose to do with my life. 888-808-1019. And you too. If you're listening to a fan at 1:32 in the morning, you're probably a Yankees fan or a Mets fan, and you're going through it. And this is therapeutic. This is how you'll end up going to sleep. This is how you end up feeling better, hearing all of these different people call in and all of these different thoughts and takes as we turn the page to the next day. My show is running out. I've got about 22 minutes left. Let's take a break right here. More of your calls when we come back.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
BRB.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
Yeah. 888-808-1019. Taking calls on the Mets and the Yankees, and we wait for your Brooklyn Nets to see what they do with those five picks in the draft. And I'll save the conversation around that. I opened with it jokingly, you know, because I took a call last night and it was funny. Shout out to Mont from Woodbridge if he's listening, because he was asking about what are the Nets going to do with that cap space. I'm like, I don't know. Well, they took on Terrence Mann's contract and they got a pick out of it. They got another first round pick. What are you going to do with five first round picks? Number 8, 19, 22, 26, 27. What are the Nets about to do? I put my Nets jersey on as soon as that happened today. I'm going to have a Nets jersey on tomorrow. I'm not going to hold you. As a Net fan, I'm getting a little giddy out here because I'm like, man, maybe they're about to trade up in the lottery. Maybe they do want Ace Bailey, who threw out the first pitch for the Mets today. Maybe there's something there. I know a lot of Mets fans are Nets fans. I know. I was just looking at Rico Bronya before the show started, and Evan made a joke. He was like, you know, the Mets need an ace. Maybe my Brooklyn Nets will get an ace. An ace Bailey. So we'll see what happens. Doug is in Poughkeepsie on the Fan next. Go for it, Doug.
Keith, what's up, brother? It's been a long time since we spoke, man. I think the last time we spoke was when the Dallas and the Giants were still bad, but we were going back and
yeah,
forth.
Yeah, but we need football, man. We definitely need football fast.
I know, but, yo, man, I'm not going to try and solve the world's problem. I'm a Mets fan, man, and obviously I've grown up my whole life. I've been watching the Yankees since Yankees and the Mets. Put it this way, since Mike Paliarulo was playing third for the Yankees and freaking Ray Knight was playing third for the Mets, so it's been a long time. But the one thing I don't understand, man, about these two teams, because they're light years ahead of what they're playing like right now. We all know that with the talent they got and the players they got. But the one thing I do understand, especially what I was saying before about watching the Yankees growing up, is I remember Chuck Knaubach said, I think it was the 96 season or the 98 season, they started off like 1-4 or 1-5. And they were playing the Twins, and they got smoked by one night. And they went in the locker room afterwards, and and 6 games into the season, this team was like, yo, what are we doing here, fellas? What is our season going to end up looking like at the end of the year? And they ended up winning the World Series. But they weren't playing no games 6 games into the year. And to relate that to what I want to relate that with the Mets is, the Mets have to understand to be a championship team, to be a winning team, you take no nights off, man. There's no nights off. You know what I'm saying? You're going out there, you're playing, you want to be a winner, you want to be a champion, you want to be like the Yankees or the Dodgers, these teams. You take no nights off. Winning teams don't go 1-9, man, in a 10-game stretch. Or 3-7, whatever it is.
Something has to happen. So somebody's got to break a table. Somebody's got to swing on somebody. Somebody's got to call a team meeting. Something has to happen to be like, hey, enough is enough. We're embarrassing ourselves. We're going the wrong way.
We're going the wrong way. They were 21 games over 500 2 weeks ago, man, and they're down to 13 or 11, 12, whatever. And it's frustrating to watch this, man, because I'm like, I'm watching both the Yankees and the Mets, and I'm like, yeah, because the Yankees are struggling too right now. And I'm like, yo, what is up
with these guys? It doesn't make sense. Like, the caller, SJ, told me, he's like, you know, last time I called you, you crushed me because I tried to say the Mets are better than the Yankees. The Mets have had a better record than the Yankees, but if you look in the standings now...
Not at all.
It's just one game better. That could change tomorrow.
We're not better than anybody right now.
Fans, even like last night, I took a call where a Met fan was saying, like, why do Yankee fans obsess over Juan Soto? Like, you guys are losing. Why do you think you can laugh at Juan Soto striking out? And I'm like, I'm not laughing. There's nothing that a Yankee fan can say to a Met fan right now. What, because the Yankees have a first place still? That's evaporating. Because Juan Soto struck out. He also hit the homer to bring them within one. Like,
the only two runs.
And
the only
not for
two
nothing.
Runs they had.
I said if the Yankees had Juan Soto's production right now in this Yankee lineup, maybe we wouldn't have lost so many games. Juan Soto's production is up. It's just the rest of the lineup. Pete Alonso and these guys have started to come back down to earth.
I know you got to go, Keith. I know you got to go. The last point I want to make is, you know, I've been saying to my son, because there's something about, to me, watching a long time. Mark Vientos, for me, the kid, he struggled to start this year. I know, he did struggle. But there's something about him, man. You don't hit home runs like he hits and have the big playoffs that he hits if you ain't got some type of, you know, really good player type of talent. You know what I'm saying? I think he struggled. He got off to a bad start. Everybody's like, oh, we'll put beta. Now you're seeing not having that kid in the lineup right now, how the teams are pitching and doing. Because just by accident, he can hit a 3-run homer. You know what I'm saying? That's the type of player. So when you don't have those guys that by accident can hit 3-run homers on a bad pitch, it changes the whole dynamic of your lineup when your 5-9 are terrible, giving you absolutely nothing, and you don't have anybody at the top of your lineup that's on a heater. You know, some guys, Soto, Alonso, Judge, some of those guys can carry your team for 2 weeks sometime, man. They can get on those stretches where they're just hitting 3-run bombs every night. The pitchers don't know how to throw to them. Teams are pitching around them, and that just discombobulates the whole rest of your game plan. But nobody's in a groove like that right now for either team. So, like playing the Braves, I'm not disrespecting the Braves. The Braves aren't that good, though, man. You don't go 14 games under 500 and get beat 2 out of 3 by the Marlins over the weekend. They're not that good. They don't have the pitching for it anymore. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not disrespecting the Braves. I'm not with the Phillies or the people that we're chasing. You know, the Yankees got the Tampa's coming up on the Yankees. These teams, man, they're not going to relent. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to like, oh, we feel bad for the Mets and the Yankees are struggling.
No, no, nobody feels sorry for you at all. Thanks for the call, Doug. 888-808-1019. That's why I always say those guys over there are millionaires too. Those guys over there drive nice cars too. When we were playing the Angels, I was like, you think Ron Washington isn't telling them, hey, you guys want the attention? We're in Yankee Stadium. Take the series from these guys. You guys want the world to see you? I'm not going to let Aaron Judge beat us. I'm walking him. Go out there and strike these guys out. Their scoreless streak, their losing streak is happening against us. Keep it going. Everybody hates the Yankees, right? They want to beat the Yankees. You think those Cincinnati Reds who had to hear, let's go Yankees in their ballpark, fans cheering Aaron Judge, you think they don't want to beat the Yankees? They do. They're celebrating that win tonight, a walk-off win tonight like they walked off the World Series. They're a fourth-place team. They might not be in the postseason. This is their World Series. And not for nothing, and I know this because I went to the first game of the series last year. Adam in the chat says the Yankees have now lost 5 straight games to the Reds since last year. And I said last night, Ellie De La Cruz did the same thing in Yankee Stadium. Triple, homer, cycle alert. He did the same thing last night. 2 nights ago now. Ellie De La Cruz is something else, bro. His speed, I knew Mark Leiter Jr. was cooked. And I just knew we were cooked anyway because they're not going to win in extra innings. And Jazz got ejected. It was just bad vibes, bad mojo. They're not going to win in extra innings. Jazz got thrown out from the field in between innings. I'm like, oh, here comes another L, and then that L is a series L. Avery's in Manhattan on the fan. Thanks for holding, Avery. You got it.
Hey, I wanted to shed some light a little bit on the Jazz Chisholm situation. And it's really cool that you were able to talk to him and hash it out with him a little bit online. But I think that, you know, we got to understand something that we didn't look at before, which is while I completely think that Jazz was in the wrong for having that reaction when he had it, and I do think that he definitely played a role in costing the team that win, we also have to understand Boone is not going to ridicule him publicly in front of all those cameras. And you talked about how Boone is in an unwinnable situation, and maybe, you know, he could have pulled him off to the side between innings to talk to him or something, and maybe he did, we don't know. But in that situation right there, when he comes in, is he going to defuse the situation? What's he supposed to say?
What's Boone supposed to say?
As it's going on, while Jazz is saying, "Why?"
Oh, there's nothing Boone could do. Boone gave him like a forearm to try and separate him from the umpire, but he was already rang up. He was already ejected.
Right.
What I was saying with Boone, I don't think I said anything about Boone with Jazz. What I was saying is that Boone and Rodon had their stories together as far as why they took Rodon out after 88 pitches. And like, their stories are going to be together because Boone defends his players. His players. Rodon is not going to say, if Boone and them did have a conversation about, yeah, you're good here, whatever, Rodon is going to back him up. If Boone goes out there first and tells all of the New York media, I took him out because he was gassed. I took him out because the weather was hot and you know, he was struggling a little bit. He had enough. Rodon's going to back him up on that. And that's exactly what Rodon did. He said, I was huffing and puffing. And I'm like, to me, huffing and puffing?
Of course you're huffing and puffing.
It's hot. It's the summertime.
Yeah.
Aren't you trying to go out there and compete and fight? You get paid $27 million. Please fight. And like, I've seen you fight and push back with Matt Blake and Boone. I've seen you be like almost to a point where like it's unbecoming of you to try and like, you know, act like you should be out there after you've given it up. You didn't give anything up today. Why are you bowing out today?
But the other thing is, well, I mean, with regards to the thing about the weather, let's also remember that when it was snowing in Detroit, and I know that you said the thing about Carlos Rodon sweating in the snow, but when they were saying it was too cold, and what was it? I think it was last year when it was too cold early in the season and Judge wasn't hitting, and they said, oh, it's too cold. He'll figure it out. And then it got warmer and they started hitting again. I don't know.
They are always weather affected. They're soft. Their whole culture is soft as baby. It is, that's what I'm saying. They are fostering a culture of softness and it comes out on the field. Oh yeah, you're good. Hanging up 88 pitches, 6 innings. You're too hot. No, go out there and gut it out. I'll take you out when it's time to take you out. We're not going to just wash our hands of it and be like, yeah, this is good enough. Even with Jazz, it's like, somebody tighten Jazz up, please. Jazz, we love your personality, right? We love your swag. But there comes a point in time where you got to be thinking about the team. You took it too far, and it cost the team. Avery, thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. I mean, now this is getting attention online. My boy Miro, you guys know Jesus and Miro. I've had Miro on. Shout out to Joel. Miro is the man. He does a lot of stuff with the Yankees. He might be watching this now if he's on Twitter. You know, he responded to my tweet too. He said, you can't win against the ump. That said, that call was egregious. And at that moment in the game, I would have blacked out on the ump too. And I'm like, listen, I'm old, man. And I'm learning. You can't let your emotions get the best of you. Less is more. You just never win that way. And what happened? We lost without him on the field when he could have impacted the game. You're not going to win trying. Like, if the ump is staring at you, ignore it. Look the other way. Because you know what? That ump has a God complex, and that ump has authority over you, where who won the argument? You saying to him, why are you looking at me? And continuing that, he threw you out of the game. You weren't there to help. You could have helped win the game. You could have been the winning run. You could have hit the ball. You know what I'm saying? You could have made a play in the field. Now you're out of the game because you did, cooler heads didn't prevail. You let a third pitch of an at-bat cost you your at-bat and then cost you playing in the game, and then the team loses. And then, like, you double down on it. It starts to become, it looks immature. And it starts to become a thing where it's like, is that worth what you provide on the field? And I want Jazz to be here. I think Jazz is great for the city, for the team. I like his personality, but, like, you got to grow up a little bit, bro. I'm 10 years older than Jazz. This is me saying, like, I know how immature I still have been in recent time. I know mistakes that I've made, letting my emotions get the best of me, wanting to win arguments and things and, like, crashing out. The crash out is not the way. And that's the term that you young boys use. Crashing out, you're gonna learn. Crashing out, you crash. It's not gonna be beneficial for you and everybody around you. That Jazz doing that, what did you gain? What did you earn? You earned a ticket to the showers. You were just the first one in the locker room before the L. And you took yourself out of the game. You weren't there for your teammates. And that's all I was saying on Twitter under the yes thing was like, bro, you can't beat the umps. You're not going to win an argument with the ump because the ump has the trump card that is throwing you out of the game, ringing you up. You can't ring him up. So, I don't know. It was compounded, man. Bob in Bayside on the fan. What's up, Bob?
Hey, you're 1,000% right about Devin Williams with the 9 pitches. It's just mind-boggling. But let me just say, get in on this. All you doom, not you, but all these doomsayers about these, you don't realize how long a 162-game season. I'm willing to bet that the best Yankee teams ever, the 27 Yankees, the 98 Yankees, there were streaks where they lost 7 out of 8. I don't have it at my fingertips, but streaks happen in a 162-game season.
Yeah, but what I've been saying is it's not that you're losing, it's how you're losing. And they're finding new ways to lose. And they're finding ways to just blow these games or not score or not pit. And, like, that's why we're freaking out a bit, because it's like, they should have won that game tonight. That kid,
yeah,
Chase
Burns,
right. When they got to him, yeah. I'm like, okay, good. Like, see it through. Rodon goes 6, only gives up 4 hits, 88 pitches, and he doesn't come out. And then, like, it's just unfortunate to learn, like, Loaiza was sick 2 days ago, and then Loaiza now is potentially the next casualty. Like, is he hurt now? Is he going to hit the IL now? Then you don't have him.
Keith, you're right about the hitting, but I'm willing to go to war with Max, Rodon, and Warren, and Clark Smith. That's a pretty good top 4.
And Luis Gil coming back at some point.
Right. That's a pretty good pitching staff.
They've been solid. Thanks for the call, Bob. And again, that's where I came back to with Rodon. Through this losing 2 weeks, winning one series, but having all these scoreless innings and ineptitude and low IQ baseball, the one thing you can hang your hat on is we've been getting good starts. So if I'm managing the team, which I'm not, and I don't know half the baseball that Aaron Boone has forgot, but, like, I'm not fostering this culture of softness. I'm pushing my starter. I know you're hot. I know you're huffing and puffing. Come on, man. Come on. You're cruising. You're doing your thing. You've only given up 4 hits. Just go out there for the 7. We'll see how you do. Before I say, okay, let's go to Loaiza, knowing Loaiza was sick the other day, and he hasn't been great this year, and then you get in some trouble, you got to get Fernando Cruz in there, and then you end up going, sticking to the script, Luke Weaver, Devin Williams, and then Devin Williams for 9 pitches, bring him back out. Mark Leiter Jr., how, like, what equation makes Mark Leiter Jr. the answer after he pitched two nights ago? Where you're willing to lose a game in a series on Mark Leiter Jr.? I don't know. It's whack. The Mets bullpen is whack too. Brazo Bond, they got to send him anywhere. All right. They got to send me anywhere. I'm done. I'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully the Yankees win. Chris McMonagle's next. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.